Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We learn so much from the lives of those that are recorded for us in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And for our next couple of lessons, we turn to God's book and study about a man. We discover something about him. Well, it could be characteristic of the life of so many. It already is, possibly, of the life of some. And if I were to choose the one word to describe the life of this man, I think I would select the word tragedy, because his life was a tragic affair, indeed. And the man we have in mind is a New Testament character named Demas. Now, life offers mankind many different kinds of tragedies, doesn't it? Comes in many forms. Some suffer diseases, financial ruin, injury, accidents. People lose their health, they lose their ability to earn a livelihood. Yeah, there are many things that are short of death, but are very tragic to us. And eventually death does come. But friend, compared to the tragedy of Demas, though at first we may not be convinced, his tragedy forces these other tragedies into relative insignificance. And why is that? Because a lot of our tragedies are material and they are temporal and they have to do with just this life. But the tragedy about Demas, it was a tragedy that has eternal consequences, because it was spiritual in nature. Yes, the tragedy of Demas was a spiritual tragedy. Now, Demas is mentioned only 3 times in the New Testament, but from these 3 notations, we can piece together his tragic life. And we want to consider each verse about him, but we'll not consider it as it appears in the order of the New Testament books, but in the chronological order of the books in which his name is listed. We'll study from the book of Philemon and the book of Colossians, and also when Paul was writing to Timothy, his co-worker. Now, the first time that we read about Demas, we read about him in Philemon, verse 24. The Apostle Paul mentions Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and he calls them my fellow laborers. Friend, the first time we read about Demas, he's mentioned along with a number of the recognized stalwart Christians of the first century. Christians in this character that were commended by the Apostle Paul. He shares these commendable remarks. They were Paul's fellow laborers. So there's no denying that Demas was a Christian. In fact, being a Christian with the Apostle Paul, going on the journeys with the Paul and the spreading of the gospel, there's no question that he was working hard as a child of God. And Paul considered him among the select company to work with him. And as those of the first century had to do, he, like all the others, he suffered the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties of travel, of persecution, as they sought to save the souls of humanity by spreading the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And in doing this, he was called upon to have to endure many things. But no doubt he had a determination about him. Yes, the first time we see, here's a man that, well, we would think he would have the zeal and devotion. He was a real pillar in the church because he was out spreading the gospel with this matchless Apostle Paul. Yes, the first time we read of Demas, we see him like many others that we have known in our lifetime. And we can be so thankful for good brethren who seem to put all things first things first, before all other things, who seem to have a keen sense of responsibility to the Lord, to the church. They'll visit the sick. They'll take care of the widow and the orphan. And they will give liberally. In fact, they're eager to serve in whatever capacity they can, whatever capacity they're called upon to serve. Their very life is a shining example of what people ought to be. And it's like what the Lord said those of his kingdom would be. There were people who make up the church as a city set on a hill, and the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I think that would characterize Demas the first time we read about him. And there are people like that today. They are so fine. They are sources of encouragement to everybody. They are a pleasure just to be in their company. They always benefit you by the kind of examples they set before others. They have a good spirit, a good demonstration of what Christianity is. And it was probably most of us would have to make some great improvements in our lives to be as commendable as was Demas the first time Paul mentions him. But now the second reference to Demas was in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 4. And this time that was written some months after Philemon, Paul again mentions a host of strong Christians. He mentions again, and notice some differences here, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, Onesimus, faithful and beloved brother, Mark, to be well received when he came to those people, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas. Now this time, all the others received some kind of special mention of commendation from the Apostle Paul. But this time, Demas is merely mentioned. Nothing outstanding mentioned about him this time. And I think this is distinctive, don't you? But even more significant in that the first mention of Demas, he was ranked alongside the others for special commendation. But this time, well, his name is there, but nothing more. Does it not suggest to you that while the other brethren were still considered worthy of being noted in some special way, Demas was not so considered to be deserving? Does it not suggest that maybe his zeal and his loyalty, his dedication, had noticeably slipped in some fashion? At least it appears that that's what is considered here in this reading. Friend, this second reference to Demas reminds us of people we have known and seen in our own day. They have not left the church completely. They have not totally renounced their faith, but their attendance at the worship service has become irregular. They are not as ready to volunteer to work as they once did. They once grieved over missing the Lord's Supper, but now it's become so commonplace to them, their conscience doesn't even hurt them anymore to miss. And they don't pray like they used to. Even their way of standing for the truth has become stained with compromise and their neglect. They're accepting unclean habits like drinking alcohol and profanity and immodest dress and questionable recreation and such as that. In fact, they're more attentive and defensive of the wrong than they are the right. Their companions are more with the godless than with the brethren. No, they haven't completely forsaken everything, but they're showing the dangerous indications that they're certainly going in the wrong direction. And as for their name, it's still on the church roll, yes. But it is, that's about all that's found. They're not like they used to be. And as such as this might characterize your life, dear friend, this ought to serve as a red flag to you, a warning to you, that you're going the wrong way. You're headed for the same tragedy as Demas. You once were enthusiastic for the cause of Jesus Christ, but now you're just not as zealous toward it as maybe you once were. Does that characterize any of us? Well, let's look further at Demas. The third time we read about Demas is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And here we learn why we call the life of Demas a tragedy. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica." What happened to Demas? Demas had forsaken Paul. But he had not only forsaken Paul. He had forsaken what he and Paul once stood together and fought together and promoted together. He and Paul were once fellow laborers for the Lord. But now he had turned his back to the ways of the world. He turned his back on the faith of Christ. And it tells us why. He loved the things of this world. Now, we know the Bible teaches that God so loved the world, he was talking about all the people of the world. But here, when we read that Demas, having loved this present world, is talking about the sinful things of the world. Let me just here insert how ridiculously this passage is rendered in that so-called Living Bible paraphrase. That perversion of Scripture has Paul saying of Demas, he loved the good things of this life. Friend, that's not so. Demas did not love the good things of this life. He had the good things of this life. He loved the evil things of this life. He loved the world more than Christ. And what a wrong and distorted impression some have about what is good and what is evil. And for men to have the audacity to take the word of God and try to put into it their own words by making it say what it does not say, and even suggest that what they say is above what God has said. Friend, that's the case with nearly all of these modern speech so-called translations of the Bible. You need to be very careful about that upon which you rely. Demas loved the evil of the world. He left the good for the evil. And he failed to abide by the teaching of 1 John chapter 2, where we're urged not to love the world nor the things of the world. Friend, being a child of God means that we set our minds and we set our affections primarily on things above, not on this earth, not on this life, not certainly on its evils. Demas was once a strong Christian, but the world got the best of him. He was not like Paul. Paul said he'd fought a good fight. He'd finished his course. He kept the faith. And there was a crown of righteousness awaiting him. How different from Demas, because how we read how Demas quit. He quit before the prize was his. He quit before he won the race. He failed to realize that friendship with the world is enmity with God. James 4 and verse 14. And because of that disposition, and because of that action, we read how tragic was the life of Demas. He had it good, but he turned to the bad. But he also teaches us from his life, and his life is a refutation of a false doctrine being propagated in the world today. We'll talk about that next time. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.